Hello, my name is Shu Mingxin. I am one of the authors of Reclaiming Voice in Therapy and Education, written with Sydney Reiners and Marianne Little. This paper was published in Volume 10, Issue 2, Reimagining Systematic Training in a Decolonizing Era in 2026, in Murmurations, Journal of Transformative Systematic Practice. The title of our paper is Reclaiming Voice in Therapy and Education. Abstract. In this paper, we engage Simon 2024 and Abraham 2024 to consider how therapeutic and educational practices are shaped by assumption about knowledge, authority, and meaning-making. Their work led to us question not only dominant professional language, but also our own desire for certainty as trainees. We describe the Heart Story Collective, a creative student-led initiative using story, music, movement, art, and theater to foster relational and embodied learning. Through this experience, we explore both the possibilities and limitations of decentralizing expertise within a university. We conclude with concentrate commitments for carrying shared local and lived knowledge into our future practice. Reclaiming voice in therapy and education. In engaging with Simon 2024, we began to question what we take for granted in our training as systematic practitioners. Simon shows that therapeutic theories are not neutral descriptions of people. They carry ideology assumptions about what a problem is, where it is located, what counts as a healthy self, and how change should happen. This challenges us to consider how easily professional language can turn a person's experience into evidence for a theory. When such assumptions remain unexamined, they can individualize suffering, pathologize community, and elevate the norms of those who already hold institutional authority. We also found ourselves complicating Simon's invitation. We can now simply step outside theory. As trainees, we need theories to organize our learning, communicate with supervisors, and work responsibly. The tension, then, is not between using theory and rejecting it. It is between holding theory as a provisional resource and allowing it to become the final authority on another person's life. Simon's paper has made us more attentive to the moment when the formulation stops opening conversation and begins closing it. It has also made us ask whose values are being protected when a particular account of the self is treated as professional correct. Abraham's 2024 heart-centered approach to education offers a related challenge. Her use of poetry response to educational environments organized around evaluation, certainty, and correct performance. We were drawn to the possibility that learners' own words, emotions, and hopes could become part of knowledge-making rather than distractions from it. Poetry, in the sense, does more than making learning creative. It changes who is permitted to contribute and what forms a contribution may take. At the same time, our experience led us to elaborate on Abraham's invitation. Creative practice is not automatically liberating. A poem, movement exercise, or a personal story can become another performance if students feel they must review themselves correctly, appear emotionally insightful, or satisfy an educator's expectations. For creative learning to decentralize authority, there must also be room to hesitate, decline, remain uncertain, and respond differently from others. We began to understand heart-centered education not as a particular activity, but as an ongoing negotiation of consent, risk, authorship, and responsibility. Taken together, Simon and Abraham shift how we understand language in therapy and education in both settings, specialized language can position people as passive recipients of someone else's account of reality. Yet we also recognize that shared authority does not mean pretending that differences in role and power disappear. Educators still access students, and therapists still hold professional responsibilities. Our question has become how these roles might be practiced transparently without treating institutional authority as the only legitimate source of knowledge. The Hot Story Collective grew from conversations with Abraham and took shape in our cohort as a student-led initiative in 2026. Its public description locates storytelling and creative engagement within a wider effort to build relational learning, Abraham 2025. In our session, students brought story, music, movement, art, theater, and embodied practice into a university environment, usually organized around lectures, assignments, and assessment. What began as a response to the readings became a practice through which we could notice how knowledge fell when it was created collectively rather than delivered to us. In one session, Sydney explored how we relate to love and hope during times when they feel distant. Through storytelling, group yoga, and shared music, we sat together with love, longing, and uncertainty. These themes are often subverted in professional training to productivity, performance, and mastery. The session did not give us a single definition of love or technique for producing hope. Instead, it created a shared experience in which different responses could remain alongside one another. Sydney came to understand embodiment and sound not as additions to learning, but as ways knowledge is formed between people. In another session, Shuning noticed that although each person entered with different struggles, themes of connection, trust, love, and hope began to move across the group. This challenged the isolation that can accompany training, especially when students privately worry that uncertainty signals incompetency. Hearing others speak did not erase individual differences, but it changed the meaning of those differences. Shuning began to see that becoming a practitioner might involve learning how to stay with uncertainty collectively, rather than proving that she can resolve it alone. Marianne's understanding of community knowledge grew from experience beyond the classroom. After her father's death, she navigated welfare and government system while experiencing housing instability. Much of what helped her survive was learned through trial and error and through conversations with other women in a shelter. They shared practical knowledge about resources, systems, and ways of finding support when formal process felt overwhelming. This knowledge did not come with professional credentials, yet it was immediate, contextual, and necessary. Marianne's experience extends the rating by showing that community knowledge is not merely an inclusive supplement to institutional expertise. It can be the knowledge on which survival depends. These experiences have changed what decolonizing practice means to us. We no longer understand it only as inviting more voices into an existing structure. An invitation can leave the structure itself unchanged, including who sets the term, who evaluates participation, and whose language remains most credible. Heart Story allowed us to experiment with a different arrangement, but it also revealed its limits. The collective still took place within a university, with unequal roles, deadlines, and expectations surrounding it. We could decentralize authority for a time, but we could not claim to have removed the institution power. This tension follows us into therapy. diagnosis, documentation, and measurable outcomes may be required within healthcare and insurance system. We do not want to ignore those responsibilities or romanticize personal experience as beyond question. We do want to notice when a psychiatry label becomes louder than the person speaking, when a case conceptualization makes contextual disappear, or when our need to sound competent narrows when can be hurt. Simon and Abraham have helped us move away from asking for the correct professional explanation and towards asking what a particular language makes possible, what it obscures, who recognizes themselves in it, and who must translate themselves to be understood. We are still at the beginning of our training, and we do not know how fully we will be able to preserve these ways of learning within professional systems. What Hot Story has given us is not a new clinical technique. It has given us a memory of sitting together while a story, a movement, or a piece of music carried meaning that none of us could have produced alone. We want to carry that memory into our classroom, role plays, supervision, and future therapeutic conversations. For us, reclaiming voice begins in the small pause before we name another person's experience. A pause in which we listen for the knowledge already present and consider whether our words will make more room for it. References: Abraham Dana, 2024, Towards a Heart-Centered Philosophy, Embracing Poetry as Transformative Practice, Murmurations, Journal of Transformative Systematic Practice, Volume 7, Issue 1, page 102 to 109, DOI 10.28963/7.1.9. Abraham Dana, 2025, Heart Story Collective, The Res Lab, available at theresLab.com/HeartStoryCollective, accessed 28th July, 2026. Simon Gill, 2024, Story of Self, Ideology in Action, Murmurations, Journal of Transformative Systematic Practice, Volume 7, Issue 1, page 38 to 53, DOI 10.28963/7.1.4.